Let's pray, Lord. We thank you for, oh Lord, all the things that you have blessed this fellowship with, even during this time. It's kind of an odd time, but it's been a year now, so it's almost like the norm. But Lord, we just want to thank you that your word goes out, and I just thank you that your church continues to grow. Your church continues to get strong, Lord, through the teaching of your word, through the Holy Spirit, work of the Holy Spirit, and through just the ministry that you have for us, Lord. And so we want to thank you for that. I pray your blessing over each one that's tuned into the live stream. Pray that you anoint the teaching right now and that you would apply this word to each one individually. Lord, the gifts and the call, Lord, they're from before we're even born, Lord, but then they're irrevocable. They're unchanging. And so the only thing that changes perhaps is us. We go from darkness to light, and sometimes we kind of meander. But Lord, the call upon your children is secure. It's forever. And so Lord, we thank you for that. And as we read through this first chapter, Lord, I pray that there would be a specific word on that for each one that's tuned in, Lord, that you have a call. There's no coincidence that they're tuned into this live stream this night, and I believe you have a specific word for each one. And so may you bless the teaching of the word. May we decrease, may you increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're in the book of Jeremiah. I just finished Isaiah last week, and so Jeremiah, we're going to be in Jeremiah for the next several months, and then after Jeremiah, we have what? Lamentations, and then we have Daniel, Ezekiel, and then the minor prophets, and we're done with the Old Testament once again. So it is actually moving quite fast here. And so I'd like you to open up to Jeremiah chapter 1. We're only going to cover the first chapter. I'm going to spend some time kind of connecting the dots for you, kind of giving the historical background of when Jeremiah is ministering to the southern tribes of Judah there. And so firstly, I want to just talk about this in terms of the kings. Okay, so Jeremiah, he's ministering during the time of several kings, okay? So I'm going to have Frank put up a handout for you. And we've referred to this handout many times. It's a table of all the kings from the southern kingdom and also the northern kingdom. And so if Frank can put that up, and you can see that on your screen, on the live stream, stream as you're watching it. And I want to highlight on the left side, the left column, the southern kingdom of Judah, okay? Look over there when it says the king, and then the years that they've reigned, how long they've reigned, whether it's a good or bad king. And then when you have that prophet, that column, that subcolumn there on the left side, the prophet, those are the prophets that ministering during the time of the kings. Okay, so right at the top there, this is known as the divided kingdom. So you have the southern kingdom listed on the left side, and the northern kingdom listed on the right side. Okay, so the split of the kingdom came right after David, actually right after Solomon. Remember David? He had a son named Solomon. He assumed the throne there. The kingdom was united. But remember when Solomon, he began to multiply what? Multiply wives and multiply horses. And the judgment upon that was the kingdom would be split. Okay, but because his father David was faithful, right? He kept somebody from David's line on the throne all the time. That's the southern tribe there. Okay, so that's listed on the left side. But then you have the northern kingdom, the northern tribes there, and that's listed on the right side. And so the kingdom split right after Solomon. You had Rehoboam, which was Solomon's son, and you had Jeroboam, right? Jeroboam was one of the administrators under Solomon there. So the kingdom split. And so as we've been kind of studying through, the historical books, we've seen how the record goes through through these different kings here. Okay, so you have the northern tribe and you have the southern tribe. Now I want you to note this, that all the kings on the northern tribe, they're all bad. Okay, notice that on the right column there, right? The character of the kings, they're all bad. But notice the prophets that ministered during that time. We have prophets like Elijah and Micah, and then we have Elisha, and we have Jonah, Amos, and Hosea. Those are the prophets that are prophesying during the time of those kings. Okay, they're prophesying to the northern tribes there. Okay, then notice on the southern tribe of Judah there, right? We have probably about maybe, I don't know, a third of the kings that are good. So you do have some good kings. We have a lot of bad kings. Okay, so on the prophets there, we have what? Joel, we have Isaiah, which we just finished studying. We have Micah, Nahum, who's a minor prophet. Habakkuk's a minor prophet. We have Zephaniah, notice there. And then lastly, we have Jeremiah. So Jeremiah is one of the major prophets that we're going to be studying for the next several months. And so Jeremiah, notice he's ministering during the time of several of the kings right before they go into exile. Okay, so Jeremiah is ministering. He begins his ministry right there when Josiah becomes on the throne there. Okay, so Josiah is a good king, but right after Josiah, we have all these bad kings, and that takes them into exile. Okay, so I want you to note that Josiah, he has three sons. One of the sons is Jehoahaz, right below Josiah. Another son is Jehoiakim, right below Jehoahaz listed there. And then two down is Zedekiah. It's a third son of Josiah. Okay, so Jeremiah begins his ministry basically at the time of Josiah. Even though he's probably born when Manasseh was king and Amon, he assumed the throne. Toward the latter part of Manasseh's reign, probably Jeremiah was born. And then Amon, he was only there for 2 years. One of Manasseh's sons, right? But he only started to begin his ministry probably in the time of Josiah, as you're looking there, right? And so he continues his ministry. Josiah was a king for about 31 years. But he continues his ministry all the way through the end here. And Josiah, as I mentioned, has three sons. Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and then right at the end there's Zedekiah. Okay, and so he's ministering all the way to the time that they go into exile. I want you to note that. And that's why he's noted as the what? The weeping prophet, right? He's weeping as he's watching his countrymen be taken into exile to Babylon, okay? And then right in between Jehoiakim and Zedekiah is a man named Jehoiachin. Jehoiachin is a brother of Josiah. And so he's older than Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and Zedekiah. He's those three sons' uncle. Okay, he's a brother of Josiah. Okay, he assumes the throne for about 3 months, right in between a couple of the sons there. Okay, so I want to just note this to you because these names are going to come up in this prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's ministering during this time, right up to the time of exile. So notice at the bottom here, the bottom of the southern kingdom of Judah, notice it says 586 BC, right at the bottom there. That was the time when Nebuchadnezzar comes in and he levels Jerusalem. Remember that? We talked about this. There's actually three sieges that Babylon does over Jerusalem. The first one was the time when they took Daniel into exile, right? That's about maybe 605 BC, if my memory serves me correctly. 605 BC, Daniel and his three friends are taken into exile. But they put in kind of a vassal king there as they do that, right? And so they're in there. They're still in Jerusalem there, even though Daniel's taken into exile, and then Nebuchadnezzar tries to brainwash them. Remember that? And we're going to study that in the prophecy of Daniel, in the book of Daniel. But after Daniel's taken into exile, there's a second siege. And that second siege was around 597, I believe, B.C. That's the time when he took Ezekiel into exile. And so Ezekiel is the other major prophet that comes after what? Jeremiah, Lamentations, which Jeremiah wrote, and then Ezekiel. And then we have the book of Daniel. Okay, so Ezekiel is another person that's taken into exile in the second siege, right on 597 BC. And so Ezekiel is taken into exile, and Ezekiel, he ministers his prophecy while he's in exile in Babylon. Okay, but then after that, there's a third siege, and that third siege comes under this time of Zedekiah. Because Zedekiah, he didn't obey what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do, right? And so because of that, Zedekiah, as he's reigning there, Nebuchadnezzar comes in and he levels Jerusalem. And he destroys the walls there, and then he ransacks the temple, right? And this was all prophesied in Isaiah, which we're going to cross-reference in due time. But as they now go in on this third siege, that's when Jeremiah, he's witnessing this. And he's watching all his countrymen being taken, just totally, if they're not taken into exile, totally killed, totally demolished. And then the temples is leveled. And so this is the time that Jeremiah is prophesying. Okay, so this is the historical backdrop there. It's in the third siege. That's right at 586 BC. Okay. Now, if you look on the right side, the northern tribes have already been in exile for many, many years, okay? And so remember when we were studying Isaiah, Isaiah was ministering during the time when the northern tribes were being taken into exile. And a lot of the prophecy of Isaiah is that look at your countrymen up north. Look at your brothers up north, right? Your brothers and sisters up north. They were taken in exile because basically they were practicing idolatry, worshiping false God. And he says the same is going to happen to you unless you repent. And lo and behold, about 140 years later, it happens to the southern tribes as well. Now, the major player in terms of the world empire is now Babylon. It was Assyria when Assyria took the northern tribes into captivity in 722 BC. But then about 100, 120, 140 years later, Babylon comes on the scene. This man Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon, and he's the one that comes in and takes the southern tribes into exile, okay, Judah. Okay, so that's the historical backdrop, okay? So you can refer to this outline here as we study through this time of the prophecy of Jeremiah, okay? All right, so with that, let's go ahead and begin. Let's go ahead and look at Jeremiah chapter 1 and begin right at verse 1. Now, chapter 1 is the call on Jeremiah's life, okay? So it's kind of an introduction to who Jeremiah is, okay, and what he's called to do. We're going to pick up next week in chapter 2 the actual prophecy that's going out to the southern tribes there as they're going into exile too, okay? I'm going to refer to a lot of I had a really good time reading Pastor Chuck's commentary on this chapter, and so we're going to be referring a lot to some of his commentary there. It's really kind of neat, his applications. So we're going to be cross-referencing and looking at some of his comments there too as well in chapter 1, okay? So we'll pick up right here, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Now, I want to highlight this. Notice it says, of the priests. So we know that Jeremiah is a prophet, right? But he's actually from the priestly tribe. His father and grandfather were priests. But he's now called to be a what? A prophet. Now, it's interesting, right? He's a priest. But notice that as he's prophesying, we're going to note this, that he's going to watch the temple get desecrated. So where there's no temple, what does the priest do? Kind of a challenging thing, right? There's no temple. Even today, right? There's no temple. Nothing for the priest really to do. And so it's interesting, the priest, they would do the sacrifices, right? We kind of study that throughout our study of the Old Testament. So here we have Jeremiah. It's an interesting thing, and this is all in the context of his call. Even though he's come from the priestly tribe, even though his father and grandfather were priests, he's going to be called to become a prophet, okay? And that's going to be highlighted here in chapter 1. Okay, but he's of the tribe, the priestly tribe here, okay? So he says, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So here we have that marker, that historical marker. And as you look on your handout, this chart here, as I mentioned, notice Josiah. He's right there. He begins to minister in the time of King Josiah. Josiah is the son of Ammon. Ammon was only king 2 years, and Ammon is the son of that wicked king Manasseh. You know, it's interesting. Manasseh is probably the most wicked king in the southern tribes there, and Jeremiah was probably born right around that time, toward the latter part of Manasseh's reign there. But Manasseh has a son named Ammon, and then he has a son named Josiah. And Josiah is the one that's the king when the ministry of Jeremiah starts to come to fruition, okay? So we see the reference there in the Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 2. It says, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So we have the historical record right there when Jeremiah's ministry begins. Okay, verse 3. It said, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim. So you can look on our map here, or on our chart here, right? Jehoiakim is two down from Josiah. Jehoiakim is the second son of Josiah, right? So it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Okay, so this is kind of the summary of Jeremiah's historical ministry there, right? Notice it mentions Zedekiah. So it mentions Josiah, a son Jehoiakim, right? And a son Zedekiah. Notice in your charter, Zedekiah is the last king before exile. Okay, so Jeremiah is ministering throughout the reign of all these kings here, okay? And he's going to watch his countrymen go into captivity as Zedekiah is the king there, okay? All right, so verse 4. So that's the historical backdrop. Verse 4 now is the call upon Jeremiah's life. This is the personal call, okay? So it says, verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Now, I love this. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, to minister, as we're going to see described here. Now, the ministry is called to do is a very difficult ministry, right? But he was called to do it. He has chosen to do it even before he was born. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctify you or set you apart for this ministry. You know, it's interesting. I started to think about how, you know, in Romans chapter 11, Paul is applying this to Israel. And he's saying the gifts and the call are irrevocable. We just studied this on Sunday morning, how God is not finished with Israel, right? In the latter days, remember that olive tree and the olive branch, the native branch being grafted back in, God is not finished with Israel. And so we study that. Actually, we studied that this last week in Isaiah, not on Sunday, but last week in Isaiah, that the gifts and the call, they're irrevocable, that God is not finished with Israel, right? And I think of that now when it says, well, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. So the call, right, is before you're even born. Isn't that interesting? You're called even before you're born. And those gifts and the call that God gives you, they're irrevocable, right? And so they're before you're even born, and they continue on even past this life. They never cease. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So in time past, right, before you're even born, but then it continues on, right, throughout your entire being, throughout your entire life. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Now, it's interesting. I don't know about you. I find that very, very, very satisfying. That God, if you're a child of God, that God, he called you before you were born. And the gifts and the call, they're irrevocable. And so even though we go on our different little rabbit trails, right? Sometimes we get off, right? God's call, it was before you were born. And his call, it's irrevocable. The only question mark is if we what? If we yield to that call. It's always there. God's always waiting, right? For us to answer the call. But he gives us what? He gives us a choice to follow him too, right? That's our responsibility. And so we're going to see this kind of play out in Jeremiah's life. He's going to say, I called you before you were even in your mother's womb, before I formed you. I called you. But we're going to see that Jeremiah has to answer the call. And that call is irrevocable. He'll continue to be called until he answers it. It's kind of an interesting kind of twist. But we're going to see that he does answer the call, even though it's a difficult call. And I think there's so much application for that. You know, everyone here that calls Jesus Christ Lord is a child of God. God has called you before you were even born. And the gifts and the call, they're irrevocable. The question is, are you going to answer that call? And I got to tell you, until you answer that call, you really haven't answered. Or you really haven't come to that place to be satisfied. You know, I think you're only going to be satisfied when you answer the call. When you run from the call, right? And when you kind of meander from the call, right? You're never going to be satisfied. You're going to go from one thing to the next. And so even though the call is a difficult call, unless you answer it, you're never going to be satisfied. And this is what we're going to see play out. And the prophet Jeremiah, we're going to see later on that Jeremiah says, hey, you know, Lord, I'm tired of this ministry. I'm not going to preach your word anymore. They just persecute me. Well, he warns them that's what they're going to do. But then you're going to see that, you know what? Jeremiah's going to say, but then the word of God just burned in my heart and I had to preach it. You see, you're only satisfied when you do what God has called you to do. The gifts and the call, they're irrevocable, and they are called to do them even before you were formed in your mother's womb. And so it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Who ordained him? God ordained him. God ordained him. And if God ordained him, right, it's going to come to pass. He just has to what? Receive the call and by faith. Walk in it. And it's the same for us. God is predestined. He's put a call upon your life. And I think the greatest thing is to understand and realize that. that God has a call upon your life. And then you have to find out exactly what that call is as you wait on the Lord. And then take steps of faith. Because if God has called you, he's going to be with you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you, right? And we see this in the life of Jeremiah. As hard as his ministry is, which we're going to see in our chapter this evening, as hard as that ministry is, that God was with him the whole time, right? And he answered the call, and it's the same for us. He says, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And if God ordained him, it's going to come to pass. Now, verse 6 says, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. What does it mean, I am a youth? Well, most people would say that this word youth, when you look at it, it means that he's probably in his teenage years. Now, I want you to underscore that. Some would say maybe as old as 20. I think Warren Wiersbe says he might be up to 20. Pastor Chuck feels like he's in his teenage years. And when we study the book of Daniel, it's going to be the same thing. It's just kind of in his teenage years. Now, I want you to underscore this. Think about a teenager today being called to do what Jeremiah is going to be called to do. Radical. So it really doesn't have anything concretely to do with age, right? When we look at people in their teenage years, we think, oh gosh, how is God going to use them? Well, God can use them mightily if they're sold out for the Lord. And this is what we see with Jeremiah. He says, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. And so notice the humility. He says, I'm just a young man. I'm just a teenage boy, really. And he says, I don't speak real eloquently. And it reminds me of Moses. Remember, Moses had that problem too. You know, the sense is that Moses had a stuttering problem. And that's why he says, I'm not going to speak for you, Lord. Let Aaron speak. And then God said to Moses, remember, says, well, who made your mouth? And then he still questioned God. And God said, okay, I'll give you the message, but you can tell Aaron, and Aaron can speak to the people. But this is the humility that's coming out. And you know, it's interesting. I'm going to read this quote from Pastor Chuck, and it just so blessed me. He says, the word youth is usually a reference to a teenager, as I mentioned. And thus, it is thought that Jeremiah was probably still in his teens at the time the word of the Lord came to him and told him that God was going to use him as a prophet to the nations. So you can understand Jeremiah's reticence. It was not, though, an unwillingness. It was not, I will not, but I cannot, for I'm a youth. His question, I don't have the gifts to do it. I'm just a youth. He wanted to do it, but he didn't know if he had the goods to do it. And so to Jeremiah's objection, the Lord declared, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. I cannot speak, says Jeremiah. Just say what I command you, says the Lord. Lord, I am not eloquent. I don't want you to be eloquent. All I want is for you to share my word. You know, I think that's a really, really important detail that we need to remember. You know, I don't think the Lord is asking us necessarily to be eloquent with our words. What he's asking us to do is to boldly share his word. It's not to talk around, right, and use all this fancy language, right, but to share the truth of his word. And this is what he's telling Jeremiah. Don't worry what you're going to say. Just say what I tell you to say. All I want is for you to share my word. You don't have to be eloquent. Just share the word of God gives you, the word he places in your mouth. And I think it's a wonderful word for us. You know, many of us are not educated. Many of us perhaps don't have the eloquence of a speaker, but we have the word of God to share. And that's what God calls us to do, is to share the word of God in simplicity. It reminds you of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let me read this to you. This is Paul encouraging Timothy. I don't know if you remember this. Timothy is a very young man, and Paul is pouring into him as a young man how to pastor this church in Ephesus. Now, this church in Ephesus is a very, very prominent church, and you have a young man, right, ministering to all these ones that are older than him. Think about it. And so Paul, he encourages Timothy with the same kind of sense there, same kind of feel. He says, let no one despise your youth, Timothy, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Isn't that good? You know, it doesn't matter if you're a teenager. He just says, be an example to even the older believers in word, in conduct, how you live, in love, how you love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And then he says, I exhort you to commit yourself to reading the Word of God. And as a young man, as a teenager, you can do this. You can be an example to those that are older than you. You can be an example in your conduct, in how you love, in your purity, in your faith, in how you share the word. Okay, so Jeremiah, right, he's saying, I'm a young man. And the Lord says, hey, don't worry. He says, do not say I am a youth, verse 7, chapter 1 of Jeremiah. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Don't be scared. Do not be afraid. You know, if people question you or question youth, just say what I tell you to say. You know, that's why it's so important to just really kind of read the Word of God. You can't go wrong with reading the Word of God from cover to cover. It's God's Word, right? The young boy said, well, you're a child that says it, right? You just read through the Word. It's God's Word that goes out. He says, just do what I tell you to do. Say what I tell you to say. Do not be afraid of their faces. Now, why are we afraid? Because everybody starts to question us, right? Everybody starts, the world starts to question us, and people are, but just, if we have the Word of God on our lips, right, we don't have to be afraid. It's His Word. You ask God, right? You show Him the Word, and you ask God. But He says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. Kind of reminds you of Isaiah, remember? When Isaiah's taken up into heaven, right, and then the seraphim, the angels, right? And they put that live coal in his mouth. They purged his tongue. It's kind of like this. It says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, verse 9 says, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Okay, so the Lord touches his mouth. He says, I put my words in your mouth. Just say what I tell you to say. Have no fear of man. Verse 10, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now, can you imagine this ministry right here? It says, I put my word in your mouth, and this is the message you want to give the people. You want to root out and pull down. He wanted to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. Can you imagine telling the kings this? I'm going to root you out and pull you down. I'm going to destroy and to throw down. And so I can, what, build and plant something new? That's his message. So you can understand maybe being a little fearful, right? He's going to minister, be told to minister this to the kings, to the priests, all those leaders in Judah there. Verse 11 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. And then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. And you know, in here, in verses 11 and 12, you have to actually go to the original language. But what Jeremiah does is a play on words here in his prophecy. This word, almond branch or almond tree. It's in the Hebrew word, it's S-A-Q-E-D, saked, S-A-Q-U-Q-E-D. And then this word ready in verse 12, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready. It's a similar word, it's S-O-Q-E-D, soked. Okay, so he does a play on the word. They sound similar. And so let me just read you, this is a comment by Pastor Chuck. He says, I will awake my word. You really need the Hebrew language to grasp this verse's idea completely, Pastor Chuck writes. The Hebrew word for almond carries the idea awake. The reason the word almond is awake in Hebrew is that the almond tree is the first tree to blossom after losing its leaves in the winter. The almond tree begins to blossom in the end of January and the first of February in Israel. It is the first of the trees to awake from winter. And so he says, look at the almond tree. And he says, awake. It's going to be an awakening to Israel. Okay? He says, literally, the Lord asked, what do you see? And Jeremiah answered, I see the rod of an awake tree. The Lord responded, you see well, for I will awake my word to perform it. See, Jeremiah is coming with a word to awake the southern tribes there. It's a word to repent because judgment's on the horizon. Or Jeremiah said, I see the rod of a watch tree. And God said, I will watch over my word to perform it. The prophecy is going to go out and he's going to perform that prophecy. What Jeremiah is prophesying is judgment's coming. And the people aren't going to like it. The kings aren't going to like it. The priests aren't going to like it. All his countrymen aren't going to like it, but he has the word of God. The word of God is truth. And so the promise is that God is going to watch over his word, and he is going to perform it. It's going to be a word of judgment, a warning. Okay, so it says, then the Lord said to me, verse 12, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. Verse 13, and the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. This is a vision of Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, which is north of Israel. This boiling pot is coming, and it's going to take down Jerusalem. That's the vision, right? So he says, it is facing away from the north, this boiling pot. It says, then the Lord said to me, out of the north, calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. So notice that, right? All the sieges that we talked about, right? Against all its walls and around and against all the cities of Judah, I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. And so notice the prophecy here of Jeremiah, and this literally comes to pass. As I mentioned, three sieges, right? They surround the gates of Jerusalem. That's what a siege is, right? Nothing comes out, nothing goes in. They starve that city to death. This is what's happening in those three sieges, right? And so we see it's Babylon that administers those sieges. And why? Because the southern tribes have forsaken the way of the Lord, right? They've forsaken their God. They've played the harlot. They've worshipped pagan gods. Verse 17, therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. So give them this word of prophecy, this warning. The judgment is coming. They're not going to want to hear it, but don't be afraid of their faces. Right? Give them what I tell you to say. Verse 18, for behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land. And the kings of Judah against the kings of Judah, against its princess, against its priests, and against the people of the land. So you can imagine that? This young teenager is to begin prophesying against the kings of Judah, against its princess, and against its priests, all the leaders, right? He's supposed to come with the word of the Lord, and that word is what? Judgments are coming. You need to repent. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if somebody, a teenager, goes up to, let's say, the president or Congress and say, hey, you guys need to repent. Judgment's coming. I mean, that's the call that Jeremiah has. That's his ministry. And he was called to do this before he was even born. Notice verse 19 says, they will fight against you. They're going to be against you. They're not going to receive this. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being called to ministry that nobody's going to receive? Can you imagine somebody say, hey, you know, I have a call on your life. God said, I have a call on your life. Go and minister to these people, but they're going to hate you. Nobody's going to listen to you. Matter of fact, they're going to put you in a cistern, in a well to die. What would you do? Would you say, okay, yes. Okay, Lord, I'm going to answer that call. This is the place that he's given. That God has described this call, what they're going to react to, how they're going to react, what they're going to do. And he's going to still say yes to the call. He says, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. You know, I'm going to read you one more comment from Pastor Chuck. The victory foretold. He says, the Lord told Jeremiah in the beginning not to be afraid of the people's face. He said, they're going to be looking in anger at you. They're not going to like what you are saying. But don't let that turn you from my word. Don't modify what I'm saying. Don't try to appease them. It is not going to be easy. You know, there's so much application in that, right? What the word of God says, is that the word that we preach? Is that the word that we teach? Is that the word that we live? Or do we modify to appease the people? Oh, well, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want anybody to get mad at me. So we kind of water down the truth. Or perhaps we even change the truth. Actually, we were talking about that in our study of 1 John. Remember the doctrinal test? Are we teaching truth or are we changing the truth? You know, it's interesting, so often, right, we start to change what God's word says because we don't want to offend the people. Now, there's ways to minister to people in love, but it always has to be in the truth. What God says is don't modify what I'm saying. Teach and preach the word exactly how it's given. It's God's word. It's not ours. Don't try to appease them. It is not going to be easy. Pastor Chuck writes this, I like that the Lord does not draw us in through false pretexts. The Lord does not say, oh, if you will just yield to my way, it will be so beautiful and wonderful. You will find yourself at such ease and things will be so smooth. The Lord told Jeremiah that it was going to be tough. They're going to fight against you, but you will be as a fortified city. I will be with you. I will watch over you. I will take care of you. They will fight against you, Jeremiah, but they will not prevail. You know, I believe that's a word for us today. A word for God's church. God never said it's going to be easy. It's not easy to stand firm in the truth. Matter of fact, you're going to be ridiculed, mocked, persecuted. When you say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. I love his word. I love what the Bible says. You're going to be mocked and ridiculed. But the Lord never said standing for him and standing for truth would be easy. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. They ridiculed me, they're going to ridicule me. You. They mocked me, they're going to mock you. But I want you to know this. The word says, but they are going to fight against you, but you will be as a fortified city. If God be for us, who can be against us, right? We have to walk in the truth, and God will protect us. I will be with you. I will watch over you. I will take care of you. They will fight against you, Jeremiah, but they will not prevail. That's for the child of God. We don't change the word. We don't change the doctrine, right? We stand in the truth, and we trust the Lord to protect us. And so this is the ministry that God has for Jeremiah. And we're going to see he's going to be persecuted for it. Matter of fact, as I mentioned, he's going to say, oh, Lord, I'm done. It's too hard. You ever been there? Lord, it's just too hard. I'm done. But then Jeremiah's going to say, he says, but the word so burned in my heart. I had to preach the truth. I had to give the truth. Right? So the prophecy of Jeremiah we're going to see over the course of the next several months. We'll pick up chapter 2. That's actually begins the prophecy, the word of God to the southern tribes of Judah. And it's going to be one of repentance. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for your word tonight, Lord. I pray over all those that have received, Lord, just this first chapter, just the call that we see upon Jeremiah's life. I believe everyone that's tuned into this live stream, Lord, there's a reason you've called them to receive this message. And I believe, Lord, you have a call upon each life. And I believe the gifts and the call, they are irrevocable. And I believe you've called each one even before they were born. Perhaps they've gotten off track, as we all have, Lord. But Lord, that your call is irrevocable. It doesn't cease. Your call just awaits for those of us to answer the call. And so I pray for all those, Lord, just that are pondering or wondering, are perhaps maybe even struggling, going through it, Lord, doubting. Does the Lord love me? Does the Lord remember me? But I pray that you would just minister to them through this word, that your children were called before the foundations of this earth. They're called even before they were born, and the call is irrevocable. And Lord, I just would pray, Lord, that you would just minister hope into them, that it's never too late to turn and to answer the call. And I pray each one, Lord, that as they do that, they would realize just that this is what they're created to do. This is what they're called to be. And that they would find just that sense of satisfaction, Lord. But I believe we're satisfied only when we answer what you've called us to do. Nothing more, nothing less. That the world's riches can never replace that sense of answering the call that you have on our lives. And so I pray that for each one that's tuned in, Lord, may you remind them of what you called them to do. When they first gave their life to the Lord, what they said to you, Lord, when they're at that place, when they called out to the name of Jesus, I pray that you bring them back to what they said to you, Lord, the commitment, the promises, Lord. I believe that those gifts, those calls, they're irrevocable, Lord. Lord, remind us, I pray. Help us to walk this walk of faith firmly. Firmly in that place, Lord, of your calling. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?